Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Voter Protection Program press briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have an opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce Joanna Lidgate, National Director of the Voter Protection Program.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being with us on our daily press briefing today. The Voter Protection Program is a bipartisan initiative dedicated to election integrity. We're going to give you an update today on what we're seeing in the key battleground states where we work with attorneys general, governors, secretaries of state, and law enforcement leaders. And we'll also talk about the election results and answer any questions you have about ongoing election-related litigation. As we've said all along here at the VPP, state leaders will use every tool they have to protect the integrity of our elections. And they're joined by some incredible bipartisan federal leaders who you'll hear from today. And it's our belief collectively that it's time to unite behind some basic democratic principles: upholding the will of the people, enforcing the rule of law, and denouncing violence in any form. Anything less is un-American, and it puts the security of our elections and the safety of our country at risk. We're going to finish the job, get a full and fair count of every legal vote, and the voice of the people will be heard in this election. And to kick us off today, I want to turn it over to Josh Call, Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin. Attorney General Call.
Thank you, Joanna, and thank you to everybody who's joining us. It's great to be here with my fellow panelists today. It's an honor to be with them. I want to just talk about a few things briefly. One is that before this election happened, I talked a lot about my confidence that the process would be safe and secure and that we would get reliable results, and also the fact that we were preparing so that if there were issues that did arise on election day, that we were prepared to respond appropriately. I know that the same thing was true for other state officials around the country, and we were able to have a smooth process on election day in Wisconsin, as states around the country did. We had a free and fair election where people were able to cast their ballots. Turnout was really extraordinary this year, so Americans across the country made sure that their voice was heard. And now the process that is going on is the ballot counting process. Many states, including my state of Wisconsin, have completed their unofficial counts. In a few other states, there is still some counting going on. But that counting is a critical part of making sure that the voice of the people of our states are heard. These are our, you know, in the case of Wisconsinites, our friends and our neighbors and our fellow state citizens, and for people around the country, the same thing is true. And we are making sure that every American who cast their ballot is able to have their voice heard. Even where there have been unofficial results, such as my state, the formal election process is continuing. There's certification that happens where the results are reviewed, and then ultimately there will be a state certification. In Wisconsin, as in other states, that is an open and transparent process. It is a process that has gone smoothly so far, and I expect it will continue to go smoothly. And at the end of this process, we will have official results that reflect the decision that was made by the voters of states around the country. And we're going to make sure that the person who wins the presidential election, as well as every other election on the ballot, is the person who gets the most votes or the most electoral college votes in the case of the presidency. And those are going to be determined by who people in each of the states have voted for. So we are in the process of making sure that the voice of the people is heard. And I am confident that the results that we are seeing come in are accurate results. They're reliable and they reflect the will of the voters. So that process will continue. It's going to continue to be transparent. And ultimately, the results of this election will dictate who the next president is, just as they have in every election throughout the history of this country. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Attorney General Call. I'm going to turn it over now to someone who has experienced elections from many different vantage points, Janet Napolitano, former United States Secretary of Homeland Security, former Governor and Attorney General of Arizona, and co-founder of Citizens for a Strong Democracy. Secretary Napolitano.
Thank you, Joanna. And let me just say that there are some fundamental principles that we're proud of as Americans. We are proud that our leaders govern with the consent of the governed. We're proud that our elections are open, transparent, and fair. And as Attorney General Call just said, we're now in a part of the election process, and that is the actual counting of the ballots, which in some states is still underway. We're proud as Americans that when there is a change in administrations, that we have a smooth and peaceful transition of power. So these are some fundamentals for our country. As a former elected official myself and former Secretary of Homeland Security, I think it important to note that we have seen no indication of any sort of widespread fraud that would undercut the validity of the election that we had this past Tuesday. And so we now need the process to get to completion. And again, should there be a smooth transition, should there be a change in administrations, that there is a smooth transition of power. And with that, I will conclude my remarks.
Thank you so much. Next up, someone who's been a strong voice for the rule of law, Greg Brouwer, who is the former FBI Deputy General Counsel and former U.S. Attorney for the District of Nevada, also a former elected member of the Nevada legislature. Greg.
Joanna, thank you very much, and thanks everybody on the call. It's an honor to be able to share some thoughts with you today. Let me speak briefly to the issue of potential unrest that I know that we're all concerned about. I know that federal, state, and local law enforcement are prepared for the worst over the next few days and perhaps weeks, as they should be. But we are all obviously hopeful that any assemblies over the next several days will be peaceful. And I want to emphasize that violence should not and cannot be tolerated. And I know that our political leaders and law enforcement leaders around the country agree with that. In this regard, I just want to emphasize that I think it's absolutely critical that political leaders at every level, no matter whether they supported President Trump in this campaign or Vice President Biden, lean very far forward in the coming hours and days to urge calm. This has to be a very public and constant message, in my opinion, and has to continue until all the dust settles, and should include law enforcement officials in various jurisdictions as well, and also should include the president himself. I think it's absolutely incumbent upon President Trump to lead that effort in urging our nation to stay calm, to allow the process to finish, and whatever the result, to accept it in a peaceful way. The bottom line, of course, is that the entire world is watching, and we need to once again display a peaceful transfer of power that is one of the hallmarks of our constitutional democracy. And I think, again, that it's absolutely critical that the president himself lead that effort. And if he does so, in my view, that can make a huge difference. I look forward to your questions. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Greg. Our final speaker is another whose career makes him so well-suited to speak to these issues, Michael Chertoff, former Secretary of Homeland Security, former U.S. Circuit Judge, former federal prosecutor, and co-founder of Citizens for a Strong Democracy. Secretary Chertoff.
Thank you, and thanks to the other panelists on the call. I think we're united in wanting to make clear that having a fair count And counting every vote is critical to our democracy and has always been at the core of our constitutional values. The good news is the voters have done their job. Unprecedented high turnout, whether in person or through mail-in ballots, and no indication of interference with the voting process. State and local officials have done their job. They are counting as expeditiously as they can, but in a way that is deliberate and makes sure that every vote counts. And it seems that there have been very few glitches in the voting and the counting process. So now it's up for the rest of the citizenry at all levels of government to accept the result once it is announced, and then, as Greg said earlier, to assure a meaningful transition. Let me be clear that the federal government has only a very limited role in the election process. Congress plays a role when the electors are selected in terms of receiving the vote count, but in terms of the executive branch of the government, other than supporting local officials with information, for example, about how to protect against cyber hacks or things of that sort, the federal agencies in the executive branch really play only a very minor role. And they certainly have no ability to interfere with the counting or the outcome of that count in terms of selection of a president. So I think we've seen so far things have gone reasonably well. There have been some sporadic reports of violence outside counting locations, and I know a couple of people were arrested, but by and large, there's not been widespread disturbances. Let's keep it that way. Let's get through the process. Let's have an effective transition if, in fact, the voters decide on a new president, and let's vindicate the constitutional values that everybody on this call and most Americans have been dedicated to upholding and defending. So with that, I'm also happy to take questions.
Thank you so much, Secretary. We're gonna turn it over for questions now, and I'll just add that if any of you have questions about election-related litigation, we will have Norm Eisen on the line as well, who is outside counsel here at the Voter Protection Program. So if there's any questions, we'll take them now.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one. We will pause to allow questions to queue. We will take our first question from Lauren Gibson from MLive. Lauren?
Hi, this is Lauren Gibbons. I'm currently getting a lot of I'm based in Michigan, if that wasn't clear, and I am currently getting a lot of questions from readers about Michigan's election system, especially as the Republican Party brings up claims of irregularities in Michigan's election process. And I was wondering if any of you could speak to how decentralized election systems, how that protects against fraud, and if there's any, I guess just talk a little bit about how Michigan and other states with decentralized systems kind of work to protect against fraud or irregularities, as the Republicans are claiming in the system. Thank you.
I'll just answer briefly on the system is not susceptible of the kinds of outlandish fraud claims that are bandied about. In fact, decentralization is one of the factors that contributes to the insulation of the system from these kinds of meritless claims. And I'll point out that there have been two cases filed in Michigan, the Benson case and the Stoddard case, in recent days, both of which have been thrown out. So these kinds of allegations are without merit.
We will take our next question from Charles Desmond. Desma from WKTP TV8.
Yeah, this is Charles Oatsma from WKBT-TV8 in La Crosse. I'm wondering, as you call for calm and you talk about the process, but doesn't the president have the right, at least, to file the lawsuits?
Well, this is Greg Brower. Let me try to answer that, at least initially. The president and other relevant stakeholders, of course, can file lawsuits if they have evidence that would justify the filing of such lawsuits. I think everybody would agree that that's part of the process, and that should be part of the process. But at the same time, filing lawsuits that are not based upon any evidence are not appropriate. In fact, they violate the federal rules of civil procedure, and the lawyers filing those suits can be sanctioned for doing so. And so, yes, lawsuits based on credible evidence should be filed, should be dealt with by the judicial system, and we should proceed accordingly. But at the same time, the president and others need to be, while they're doing that, if they're doing that, in my view, they need to be urging calm and patience while the process works itself out. And so, again, nothing wrong with mounting valid legal challenges, but they should be valid.
Yeah, this is Michael Chertoff. I just want to add to that. Putting aside, bringing valid legal challenges into a courtroom, it is certainly totally out of bounds for a president to simply make totally unfounded accusations of widespread fraud and corruption in public as a way of inciting people to believe that there's a rigged election or they can't trust the results. That is not an effort to actually adjudicate what might be an issue that someone genuinely sees. It's really an effort to stir up anger, distrust, and skepticism. And that is something that nobody ought to be supporting.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch tone phone. I will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. We have no further questions at this time. I will now turn, I do apologize, we do have a question from Tom Costello from NBC News. Tom, your line is open.
Hi all, thanks very much. I think your update, your briefing is very helpful, especially since it's bipartisan. And I just was curious, I know that you've all got your fingers on the pulse of what's going on out there, and I'm wondering, do you all pick up any intel? There's a lot of concern about the far right, the alt-right, with online chat rooms calling for armed uprisings and the like. Do you pick up any concern that that's anything more than just internet talk out into the Ethernet, or are we on the edge of something more serious?
Well, this is Joanna. I'll just start by saying that we have an incredible network of law enforcement leaders that we work with across the country, local, state, and federal. As you guys know, we have heads of the major city chiefs, the Sheriff's Association on our board. We work with state attorneys general and with now so many federal officials as well. So I know that law enforcement is, united, working hard to make sure that we have peace, we have a peaceful transition of power, that the will of the people is honored in this election, and very closely monitoring all of the kinds of activity that you've described. But I want to let our panelists comment if they have thoughts.
Yeah, this is Michael Chertoff. I would say that the social media companies have been taking down sites and postings that are putting out incitement to violence. They need to keep doing that because, that can obviously be something that incites people to actually take steps in the physical world. So all of the media needs to be mindful not to propagate what appear to be incendiary postings and messages.
And this is Greg Brower. If I could just follow that, the panel knows well that behind the scenes, law enforcement from the FBI down to the state and local agencies are sharing intelligence it's all hands on deck. The command center at the FBI headquarters is fully staffed 24/7. And so information is being analyzed constantly to look for credible threats and to then act on them if necessary, assuming the worst and hoping for the best. So law enforcement is ready, but you know, let's hope for our collective sake and again, because the world is watching, that incidents, should they exist, are isolated and dealt with quickly and effectively, and that nothing major happens.
Yeah, this is Josh Call. I'll also add, we're in an environment where in some cases tensions are running high. We just had a closely contested presidential election. There was also significant civil unrest around the country this summer. And I think it's really important in that environment that elected leaders, that former officials like my fellow panelists here, that we're really clear about the facts of what's happening. And what is happening is lawfully cast ballots are being counted, and the voice of the people of the United States of America is being heard right now, and that is as it should be in our democracy. What is dangerous is for people to first of all, to air conspiracy theories, which is what we heard from the president recently, for people to provide a broader audience for those conspiracy theories, and for elected officials of either party not to speak out when people are saying falsehoods about the security and the fairness of our elections. So it's critical that people speak out so that we can make clear what the facts are here, and that conspiracy theories or disinformation are not allowed to go uncorrected.
And we will take our last question from Nick Crisanti from New York Times. Nick, your line is open.
Hi, all. Thank you so much for doing this. I was just wondering your understanding of something that's kind of often been considered a doomsday scenario, but which we've started to see from some right-wing radio talk show hosts, about the possibility of a state legislature coming in and invalidating electoral results based on, you know, whatever they want to base it on, and then awarding a slate of electors to the Electoral College on their own. I'm just wondering if you find there to be any plausibility in that, or if that should be a concern.
This is Janet. The voters are speaking. They're speaking right now. Their votes are being counted right now. The elections will be certified by whatever local election official in whatever state we're talking about has the jurisdiction or the authority to certify the election. And for a legislature to, on its own, step in and override the will of the people, I think would be, I'll just say it, un-American. That's just not the way our elections are supposed to work.
Nick,
and this is
Norm. Go ahead, Mike, you first.
No, Norm, you go ahead.
Nick, I was just going to add that, this is really constitutional disinformation. There is no such authority under the Constitution, under applicable law, for a legislature when the voters have spoken and the voters have selected electors to exercise that kind of authority. And, these outlandish ideas started circulating on the extremes only as the count became more and more clear. So it's completely unfounded as a matter of law.
And I would echo that. This is Mike Chertoff, that basically the law is, although the legislature can set the manner of selecting electors, they have to do it in advance. And federal law says that The selection is done on November 3rd. So at this point, after the fact, no legislature can change the rules of the game. And that makes common sense as well as being what is required by the Constitution and the law.
I will now turn the program back over to our presenters for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to these incredible panelists. We will gather again tomorrow for our daily briefing, and just want to emphasize again this amazing network of leaders across the country who are working together to make sure that the vote count is finalized and that the will of the people is upheld in this election, as we know it will be. So thank you guys, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.